Boston politics.
Get ready to rumble.
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. It's me. It's me. It's Mr. FSP. Coming back live and direct to you on a Saturday afternoon or morning, depending on where you are in the world. And I got some great news. I saved a lot of money on my car insurance. And my fantasy teams are looking better as we head into week 4. Today, myself and my cohort, my compadre, my right-hand man, JTATM Money, we're going to discuss week 4 in the NFL and give some fantasy feedback to all that listen. We'll also discuss Major League Baseball's postseason. Talk a little bit of NBA preseason. I did make a vow not to talk about the NBA until the Clippers were sold. They're sold, or the proposal's there. Atlanta Hawks probably going on sale too. Well, they are on sale, but I'm not going to go there. Danny Ferry, I don't believe he's at fault, but ownership was not good. I mean, that's the way I'm going to put it. But anyway, let's get on board and talk about some great information today. Let me bring in my co-host, the man who was at the Meadowlands or MetLife Stadium to see his team go down in flames, just like my team did this past Thursday, to the New York Football Giants. Let me bring in my co-host, JT. What's going on, JT?
How you doing, my man? How's it going?
You don't sound excited at all. What's going on, bro? You down in the dumps?
No, I'm not down in the dumps. It's just I'm here. Let's do this.
You really don't want to be here. That's what that sounds like.
No,
it's
we're here.
Okay.
We're here.
It's all okay. I want to point one thing out, ladies and gentlemen. Houston's headed for a long losing streak. Extremely long losing streak. But we're going to get to this. We're going to talk about some football, talk about some baseball, and some b-ball as well. Here's what I want to do. Since football is our mainstay, we're going to hop back and forth. I want Jerry to give the people a quick synopsis of his fantasy teams and how they're doing so far. Is that possible, young man?
Sure. No, why not?
Yeah. I want to get that.
What's that?
What's so funny? What you giggling at?
What do you mean?
You were just, I'm like, what is going on over there?
Everything's fine, man. Everything's cool.
Everything's awesome. Everything's cool when you're with the team. You have to get to the movie. You don't have little children anymore. So, anyway, go ahead, bro.
All right. I have seven ESPN teams. I'm not as crazy as Victor and had to satisfy my addictive fantasy football fix by getting almost two dozen fantasy teams, and I decided to cut down. No, I'm not hating. I'm just saying that's sick. So I only have seven. Let me count it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven in ESPN, and one in Yahoo. The seven in ESPN Two of them, one, two, three of them, Victor and I are in. I am currently 1-2 in one league. I'm in eighth out of 12 teams. Another one, 2-1. I'm fifth out of 14 teams. And in the other one, I'm seventh out of 12 at a 1-2 record. And in the other one I'm in with Victor is in Yahoo, and I'm 2-1, and I think I'm, if I'm not mistaken, in sixth or seventh place in that. I'm looking at it right now to see if I'll give you an accurate assessment of where I'm at. I am 2-1, and I'm in sixth place. So I'm basically in the middle of the pack, and I can go either way. I have a nice points per week average. I'm probably on the edge of losing. I'm going up against your boy Slick Rick this week, and he's got a slight edge over me right now. But I think I'm going to have a good day with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of the three that I was not heavily criticized, but I was criticized because I had Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Davis, Le'Veon Bell in that, on that one team. But I think since they're playing Tampa Bay, I think all three of those guys are going to show out. We'll get to that when we get to it. And the other ones, I'm in, let me go back to ESPN. And the other ones, I'm 1-2, 10 out of 12, 2-1, 6 out of 14, undefeated in 3-0, 1 out of 14 in one league, and in another league I'm 1-2. So basically, if you average this out, I'm probably in the middle of the pack for the most part. So my season could go either way. Next couple of weeks I think it's going to determine how I'm going to feel about this season and how my teams are going to show out. So we'll see what happens. Haven't made any strong moves yet. Victor and I haven't consummated any deals yet.
Like we
know. I don't know if we ever will this, just because Victor has a tendency to overanalyze the value of his players, and always tries to get the very upper hand on every deal he makes. But that's okay. That's fine. I mean, I can understand that, but I'm not that way. I've always said to you, Victor, I like to get a win-win situation, and I'm not afraid to get on the in other people's eyes the downside of a trade, because that's just the way I am. I have an idea. I take a little more risk than you do, and don't mind getting the downside of a trade. Your ego, you have to get the upside of a trade regardless. But that's okay. I understand that.
I love the analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, all that for Jerry to tell you that he's in the middle of the pack in all of his leagues.
Yeah,
I conversely, all but one, I'm in the top three of all 22 or 23 leagues I'm in. All but one I'm in the top three of. And again, this is only the first three games of the season, going into week four. But that's a trend that's going to maintain, and we're going to get that one team, because we play each other this week in that one league, well, in one of the leagues, where he's going to get his head smacked in pretty hard. Wolverines in the House, I believe, is where we're playing. If it's not there, then it has to be the Parley Palace. The Parley Palace happens to be the league that I am currently winless in. I'm not afraid to say it. I've ran up against some stiff competition, some very high scores, and some of my players have underperformed. A la Eddie Lacy, but others have come up for me and stepped up and done their thing. But as Jerry said, we'll get to that when we get to it, because the fantasy breakdown of these teams is coming up real soon. But real quick, before we get to the NFL, JT, I want to talk about Major League Baseball and its playoffs coming up, mainly because of we've got a lot of good baseball headed our way. Unfortunately for the both of us, fantasy baseball has been long gone, and I don't know if we're all going to return or not. I have to keep saying they're not going to return, and I'm not going to do an eight-person league of baseball. But real quick, being the sports, and I know Mama Taylor's there somewhere giving you advice in your ear. She didn't help you out this year. But let's talk a little bit about some of these teams that have clinched playoff berths. And there's one team, actually, or two teams fighting for one spot left in the AL, American League, that is. And let's talk about the NL real quick. I'll break it down, and you give me your comments afterwards. And then we'll go right into football, or we can talk a little bit about basketball. Let's start with the AL. We have the AL East champions, Baltimore Orioles, stepping up to the plate. They actually are the only team. This is the first time in a very long time. I got to stress this. First time in a very long time that only one team has come out of the AL East that has not been either Boston or the Yankees. Very long time. They won the AL East with a record of 95-65 thus far. You know, still have some games to go left in the season, but it doesn't matter because they've won their division. They've clinched a playoff spot, and the Yankees were officially eliminated a few days ago, and Derek Jeter, up in your neck of the woods, JT, was supposed to have his last game at home.
He did.
So, you know, that was kind of sad. The Yankees didn't make the playoffs for the first time in a while, and Derek Jeter retires. And with this big cloud of 100% chance of rain, and the game getting rained out, but it didn't, and all this other mess, just controversy around that. And then people are saying he will not be a unanimous Hall of Fame entrant, which is, in my case, I mean, which I believe is kind of ludicrous, because the guy, he's Mr. Right, Mr. Everything, him and Ken Griffey Jr., Mr. Right, Mr. Everything, took the lumps, did what they were supposed to do, didn't, as far as we know, take any performance-enhancing drugs. So I think both of them should be first-time Hall of Famers, but we'll see about that.
No doubt.
Unanimous, I should say, Hall of Famers. But talk to me real quick about the Orioles and your thought process on where they can and probably should end up.
Well, they have good pitching. They have good bullpen work, and they also have good hitters and everyday players. There's no reason why the Baltimore Orioles, with a 95-65 record, which is the second best in the American League, can't get to the American League Baseball Championship in American League and have the strong possibility of making an appearance again in the World Series. Yeah, absolutely. You got the LA Angels, and you got the two teams in Detroit and Kansas City.
Yeah, and you have one more team waiting out there as well. So
I think it's Oakland, if I'm not mistaken.
It's Oakland or Seattle. Right now, Oakland controls it, but we'll get to those in a second.
Yeah, but I feel that the Baltimore Orioles have an extremely good chance of going to the World Series. I mean, Buck Showalter has done a heck of a job with that team. And
that's the thing. You know, I'm glad you said that, because Buck Showalter has been known to be able to get his teams to the playoffs, but that's it. He's never been around to finish the job. They've always brought in a new manager to finish the job. The Yankees, prime example. Buck got them to a place where, okay, they were contenders. Then who did they bring in? Who did they bring in after Buck? He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's currently one of the bosses at
MLB. You're talking about Joe Torre.
Joe Torre.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Torre. Yeah, I was thinking of something else when you said that. But yeah, Joe Torre.
Right.
He came in and for lack of a better word, cleaned up the scraps, I should say. And that may be a bad way to analyze it, but when I say clean up the scraps, he had everything in place and pretty much just cleaned it up and ran with it. I mean, he had a good team, and I for the life of me don't understand what the Yankees did when they got rid of Showalter. Maybe he wasn't getting along with the players. Maybe he rubbed them the wrong way or rubbed upper management the wrong way, because Buck Showalter is his own person. So, they kind of like, I would say, blackballed him, because he was in purgatory for a while before he got the job with the Orioles. So,
I'll tell you like this, Jerry, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the same thing happened with the Texans, with the Rangers. He was down there, got them together, did what he needed to do. And I'm not sure if Washington was the guy that took over after him, but it was another manager that came in and took the Rangers to a higher stage. And I believe it was Washington.
Yeah, in fact, I'm almost positive it is, to tell you the truth. I can almost say it was Washington, Ron Washington, yes.
So, and I'm not knocking Ron Washington. He has his issues and his demons, and he's doing what he needs to do. But Buck Showalter builds programs, and it's refreshing to see the Orioles stick with them after X amount of years, and the possibility of them, as you said, going to the World Series. And that brings up a prediction I'm gonna make later on, but that I think that's pretty bold of you to say that they have a strong shot. Well, let's move over to the Central. Now, the American League Central is a kind of dicey division right now because, yes, Cleveland is not in the picture, but Cleveland has a very good record. Three out of the five teams are over 500. Detroit and Kansas City with a possibility of winning the division if things were to fall correct for them, and Detroit representing the AL for the past, 3 years in the World Series, or 2 years, something like that. They look to repeat what they loaded up on pitching with David Price and stuff like that. Lord, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Lord, so we want to be royal, living in a fantasy. She made that song based upon meeting George Brett. And it was all about them going back to, the playoffs and being a prominent team. Maybe with her winning, the Grammy that she won, being new artist or best song, whatever the case may be, that might be a sign for the Kansas City Royals, because they're not your mama's Royals. They're pretty good. And they've shown a tendency to tumble a little bit down the stretch, whether it's David Price or Verlander or Scherzer or whoever. Their pitching hasn't been, that great as of late. They've been relying a lot this year on their bats. So give us a quick breakdown of those two teams and what you see.
Okay. Detroit's got a lot of flaws, man. Believe it or not, they have a lot of flaws. They have good pitching. Their bullpen is shaky at best, and their lineup is Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez, and JD Martinez. These other guys are highly inconsistent, and they're not a good fielding team, and it's a problem. It's a definite problem. They are not a good fielding team. So if you have a bullpen, especially in the later innings, that is shaky at best, you can have the best pitching in the world. Unless they pitch complete games, you have a strong chance with poor defense and bad relief pitching to not go that far. And that's one of the reasons why they didn't go that far last year. And I see the same thing repeating itself this year. On the other hand, Royals have the, I think, if not best, the best pitching with Wade Davis and Greg Holland. Those guys have whips under one. Both of them have whips under one, which is unheard of for a setup man and a closer. They got young bats and consistent bats throughout their lineup, and they have very decent pitching. You know, they're going to probably play each other, and they come out of the same division, so they've met each other quite a few times in the division, within their division, and it's going to be a, you know, that's one of the series I would like to watch because of the fact is these guys, I'm talking about the Royals, haven't been in since 1985, 85. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, which is 29 yep. years ago. And then back into playoff hunt, these guys are hungry, very hungry, and they have the tools to make a nice run. Let me put it that way. I can't say that they can take it to the conference championship or American League championship, but stranger things have happened. I'm not feeling Detroit. Even though with all that pitching, that's their strong suit, their starting pitching. But if they have to go into their bullpen, they're crossing their fingers. Because if you have a bad bullpen, and like I said, you have a relatively weak defensive team, it'll show out in the late innings of a game, especially in the playoffs when a lot of games are close. So mm-hmm. I'm feeling the Kansas City Royals, the upstart Royals who've never been here for almost three decades, against a team that a lot of, I wouldn't say so-called experts, think that they're probably going to make a nice run, especially past the Royals. I'm not feeling that. I like Kansas City. All the makeup of that team, starting pitching, relief pitching, and their defense and offensive guys.
Okay. I would equate them to being this year's Orioles, because I recall when the Orioles got back into the playoffs a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
They were young, hungry, and very talented. It took a couple more years for them to get it together. But I think that's what's going to happen with these Royals. I agree with you. They're going to be a hard out. They're going to be a very hard out. Let's go over to the West real quick, where the Los Angeles of Anaheim Angels will be the top seed with a record of 98-62. And odds are they're going to face either Oakland or Seattle in the opening round, because Oakland and Seattle are battling it out for that final playoff spot. Tell us real quickly about what you know about these three teams, or who do you think, or do you think LA has a chance to take it all the way to the AL Championship and or to the World Series?
Well, between these three teams, let me start with Seattle. Seattle's got decent pitching. They're and let me put it this way. I'll go to Seattle. They have decent pitching. They have a relatively decent bullpen. The guys play their offense is hot and cold. Right now they are playing decent, but I don't see Seattle, and I'd be surprised if they make the playoffs. Let me put it that way. On Oakland, on the other hand, has strong pitching. A decent bullpen, but the problem is this. And I don't think they've gotten over it ever since they let Cespedes.
Yeah.
Go to the Boston
Red Sox.
To Boston. Yeah, the Red Sox, yes, thank you. Because of that big bat and protection for players around them in the overall everyday lineup. So I'm not too confident because I think they struggle to get runs now because of and you say one guy shouldn't make a team, but I think the effects of Cespedes is going to be a lingering thing until they can get a big bat to take his spot. He was a great defensive guy and also an offensive threat in the lineup. On the other hand, the L.A. Angels, they have a very good pitching staff. They have decent bullpen work, but they rely on, for the most part, the big bats in there. I mean, they got some Mike Trout. They got Josh Hamilton. They got Alfred Pujols. And I know I'm leaving somebody out, but those three guys right there is a formidable lineup. And for the most part, they're an offensive team, and they just need the pitchers to not give up too many runs because these guys can manufacture runs, whether in the long ball or hitting base to base. You know, I think probably, just like the Orioles, I think that the Angels the Angels, with their high payroll, is you got to make it to the World Series. The heck with the American League Championship. With all the money I'm paying, I'm talking about the ownership, it's the World Series or bust. So anytime these guys don't make it to the World Series, it's a huge disappointment because of the money that's been spent on these guys. That's all I got.
Well, you know, that's an interesting perspective because you're right. They've put a lot of money into it. And, you know, you have Howie Kendrick playing second base, and you've got some other role players that contribute to the Angels' success, but their pitching has been pretty decent. Now, a couple people predict that it's going to be the Angels and the Orioles in the AL Championship, and that might be the case. But Kansas City might throw a monkey wrench in there somewhere. I think they might throw a monkey wrench in there, but we'll see. Let's quickly move over to the National League, where we have my Washington Nationals, who I believe will go to the World Series with the best record in all of baseball. It was the Angels. The Angels have the best record in baseball. They have the best record in National League. At 94 wins and 66 losses, everybody else in the NL East, except for Philly, was 77-83. That is ridiculous. So the Braves, the Marlins, the Mets, your Mets, went 77-83. Philly went 73-87. I believe the Nationals have, you know, they haven't looked the best. However, they have come out in the last month or so and dominated. Baseball, pitching, and bats. Bryce Harper hasn't been that big of a factor in it, but he's contributed. And that tells me that this is going to be a team to be reckoned with for many years to come, if not this year. I'm calling for an all-metropolitan World Series. Not the New York metropolitan area. I'm talking about the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. Baltimore and the Nationals. Real quick, JT, let's go over these teams. You got the Nationals, you got the Dodgers, You got the Pirates, the St. Louis Cardinals, as well as the San Francisco Giants. Talk to me, JT. What do you see happening here? And I think there's one other team that's still fighting for a playoff spot, if I'm not mistaken.
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, you did say Pittsburgh. Well, let me put it this way. National League is extremely interesting. You got, like you said, Washington 94-66, the Dodgers 92-68. Dodgers, in my opinion, were in a tougher division. San Francisco at 86, just six games behind, who's also in the playoffs. I'll discount them. San Francisco is not a serious contender, even though they clinched the wild card. St. Louis and Pittsburgh, two teams in the same division, a game or two apart on whether who wins the division and who doesn't. It won't make a difference because both of those guys are going to be it does make a difference. Both of those guys, one of them is going to be a wild card, the other one's going to be a division winner. That's going right down to the wire on who's going to be what. Two highly competitive teams and two teams that have very good lineups, I would have to put, and this is difficult because St. Louis usually has a good lineup, but their pitching has been shaky. And so is Pittsburgh. So I can't see them as being serious contenders. They get to the playoffs, I can't see them making a real strong run. And the same goes for San Francisco. Two teams I can see making a strong run and showing up in the National League championship would be Washington and L.A. And if that happens, in my opinion, just like I said in the against the L.A. Angels, big payroll, spent a lot of money. L.A. needs to go to the playoffs or the year is a bust. They got the best pitcher in baseball, and they don't have too many slouches in that starting pitching lineup. I hate to tell you, Victor, if it comes to Washington and L.A., two games makes the difference, and that can change. Two games makes a difference in who has the best record in the National League, but I don't think it makes a difference in who has a better chance of going to the World Series, and that, in my opinion, is L.A., without a doubt, with the type of lineup they have and the type of pitching they have along with their relief pitching. I really like L.A. To take that what's expected leap and finally get a National League championship and a trip to the World Series.
I got to disagree.
I know you do.
But, you know, time will tell. Time will tell. But this is why we're going to
let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. And you answer this honestly and objectively. Who has the better pitching and who has the better overall lineup, everyday lineup?
Everyday lineup would be the Nationals because they have more consistent bats. The biggest payroll, as you mentioned, is actually L.A., but the problem is Kemp's not consistent. Kershaw, he's probably their best pitcher. Well, he is the best pitcher, but he's not that consistent this year. Let me finish. Bat-wise, you've got Adrian Gonzalez, who's been somewhat consistent. Who's your shortstop? You always like to get Reyes, or I can't remember his name right now, but the shortstop. He's in and out of the lineup, but when he's in there, he's hot. Then you got Yasiel Puig, who is
Hanley Ramirez.
Ramirez, thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. In and out of the lineup. Yasiel Puig, not Mr. Consistent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, you know, catching it, throwing it in, basic things that you do in Little League. He's not that consistent. But then you look at the Nationals. They're sound in all areas. they might not have the very best pitching, the very best set of bats, but they're consistent. And consistency counts when it comes to baseball. You know, one game, the Dodgers can just blow up. But then for the series, they're terrible. So on a you know, 3 or 7-game series, I would give the edge to the Nationals, quite honestly. I think they're the better team. But individual players, yes, by far, the Dodgers. And this goes back to my theory of the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. I know it's two different sports, but one has a team that great superstars can or could work well together, but didn't always. And the other, just fundamentally sound, did what they were supposed to do. Even the stars got sat down. Talking about Bryce Harper got sat down. Tony Parker sat down for a little bit, along with Mano Ginobili and some other folks for the Spurs. So the correlation is that. And I think it's a good correlation because you got players that can make a difference on both sides of the ball, defense and offense. I just think that you got to look at the overall team chemistry, and I think the Nationals have that better. I'll let you get the last word before we go to commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to do some baseball. Last word from you, JT.
That's the last word. You can go to commercial.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about maybe a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes. But right now, we'll get you ready for one show. I have no idea when it's going to return, but I tell you what, it's controversial.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety. If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. It's me, Jeff SP, doing what I did to do for you every Saturday here with JT and Money. We just got finished doing a little baseball, a little basketball, and this is not the Master Plan. But anyway, that was supposed to make Jerry laugh. I guess it didn't. So we're about to gear up for some football. Oh, I don't need your sympathy chuckle now. No sympathy chuckle now.
Calm down.
We're going to take this next 50 minutes and get you ready for your fantasy football Sunday. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's about that time.
Go! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor. not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stacked defenses in the pros. They must meld the butt of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for this very first match that we're going to talk about, it calls for a little fervor. It calls for a little bit of excitement. It calls for always strapped. As soon as it plays.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud.
Make you proud.
Make your opponent pay the price.
Got to.
It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last, bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank, or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about a matchup that has all that and then some. Tall, dark, and handsomeness in this game. Carolina goes to Baltimore. And Mr. Steve Smith Sr. has promised blood, gut, sweat, and tears in this game. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, Carolina at Baltimore will not be anything pretty. JKATM Money, I'm going to give you first dibs. And I like the way you and Lance do it, so I'm going to start stealing it.
What else? What else? It's nothing different, Victor. You're stealing a lot, but that's okay. No problem.
You know what? Whatever. I'll give you Baltimore, and I'll take Carolina for this quick matchup. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. Carolina is coming in hobbling. On the defensive side of the ball, Thomas Davis, middle linebacker for the he's one of the middle linebackers slash outside linebackers. They should have a release what his injury is, and this is ridiculous. So we're going to count him as out. You got Luke Kuechly. He can't do it all by himself. That front four, I guess Greg Hardy is that much of a beast that he has that big of an impact, because that defense – it's still a very good one, very, very good one. But no one, maybe except for Jerry, would have predicted that the steel curtain, the Pittsburgh Steelers, would go and do what they did offensively to that defense. And I'm worried a little bit about it, because it's a chance to really get exposed versus a team that needs some exposure. I'm talking about the Baltimore Ravens. They need a little help, especially Torrey Smith getting into a groove. I think this might be a game that gets that done. On the offensive side of the ball, Cam Newton, brother man, will probably have to throw for 5,000 yards this year because he has no running game. D'Angelo Williams may, and this is the crazy part, may suit up. If he doesn't, you've got a guy coming off the practice squad, Mr. Reeve, that is going to come in and be the starting running back. Why? Because, again, Jonathan Stewart's hurt. Never should have paid that dude any money. Then you got Mike Tolbert with a broken fibula. This is difficult. Riverboat Ron's going to probably have to change his philosophy a little bit and throw the ball more. Now, here's the danger in this. If you let Cam Newton run around, he's already got busted ribs. He has somewhat of a hurt ankle. Are you going to expose your franchise quarterback to an explosive defense in Baltimore? They're not that bad. They're not as bad as I thought they would be, but they are. They've got holes. but I don't know. Steve Smith is out to prove a point, and he's going to make that secondary of Carolina look really, really bad. So with that being said, yeah, I'm going to start Cam Newton. And Greg Olsen's a little nicked up, but I have to start him too. But other than that, Calvin Benjamin, he might explode with Jericho Cotchery still a little nicked up. But I don't know. I just don't know. I don't think he's a must start. I don't think he's a must start. But IDP-wise, Coochley, of course. But that defense, you got to start them because they're the second best defense in the league. But I would try to find somebody that's playing Jacksonville, which is San Diego. I would try to find a team that's playing the Jets, which would be Detroit, because I'm a little worried about that Carolina defense. But with that being said, those are my fantasy plays, and I guess I'll give my prediction now because I know Jerry's going to give his. I'm going to give it to Baltimore because I think they get on the road of recovery offensively with Talaferro and all those other guys. Go ahead, JT.
Oh, you mentioned Talaferro. You really mentioned him? Really? Okay. I just want to make sure that you mention him. But I'm not going to mention anybody in fantasy. That's for tomorrow in the master plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're not going to steal that segment and have it for Victor. It's going to the master plan. So what I'm going to do is this. I like Baltimore in this game for the simple fact is Carolina, and Victor laid it out, got some offensive issues and definitely dealing with some defensive issues. Like he said, Cam Newton is banged up. He was limping around last week. So that ankle is probably the same ankle that he had a surgery on. It's still not right. And he's dealing with injured ribs. So even though Cam wants to run around, even though they're probably going to shoot him up or whatever to try to alleviate the pain that he's dealing with, whether it's ribs or ankle, the running game is extremely ineffective. And more or less, like Victor said, they're going to have to throw the ball. And if they're going to throw the ball because they can't run the ball that well, then logic dictates, and I'm not naming anybody specifically, but logic dictates that you want to go in the direction of the passing game versus any running that Carolina is going to do. Plus, their offense is extremely anemic. They are averaging. What are they averaging? I don't know what they're averaging, but they're on the road, and I can't see them doing anything against Baltimore at home. With that being said, I would have to go with Baltimore. Let me see what they're 10th in passing yards. They're 29th in rushing yards, like we talked about. And Baltimore, if they're going up against Baltimore's passing game, they're 8th against the pass, and they're 27th against the run. So I see this as just like Pittsburgh did last week when they got their head out of their butt and decided to run the ball a lot more versus throwing it. I see Baltimore doing the same thing. And temper your expectations. I'll give you this for fantasy. Temper your expectations on the running backs from Baltimore. And I'll expound on it more 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday morning at the Master Plan.
Nice plug, buddy. All right, so let's move on to another good game, or should be a good game. Matter of fact, Chicago should be coming in with a chip on their shoulder because they let a 4th-and-18 stop them from making the playoffs last year. Aaron Rodgers to Randall Cobb. So Green Bay travels to Chicago to play outside, where Matt Forte and Eddie Lacy, two of the top five, in my opinion, fantasy players this year, they got drafted, have not shown up. Neither one. Now, is it Forte's fault? Maybe not, because they've decided to throw the Chicago, that is, have decided to throw the ball around quite a bit this year, and they've pretty much sprinkled in the run just to sprinkle it in, to keep people honest. And his touches have gone down, too. Martellus Bennett has stepped up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Bears, and Jerry's going to take Green Bay. So Martellus Bennett steps up. He's received a touchdown the first three games of the season. He's also been a bailout guy, so to speak, while people double-team Alshon Jeffries and Brandon Marshall. Now, Brandon, he's dealing with an ankle injury that he played in Monday night. There's no guarantee he's going to play Sunday, but there's, you know, he's a football player. He's getting $10 million this year, because I think he signed a $40 million contract, something like that, and he's going to play. How effective will he be? Probably just about as effective as he was with the Jets. And the Jets have a terrible secondary. So, and Brandon didn't do much. He was more of a decoy and a blocker. So I look for Alshon Jeffries to get more touches, even though he's injured himself. But Martellus Bennett is a guy. I'm telling you, he's been exploding the past couple weeks. Green Bay isn't that solid on covering the tight end, because you're going to have Julius Peppers covering. And Julius is a converted DN to linebacker. I don't think it's going to be either him or Matthews, and it's not going to be pretty either way. Just my opinion on that. Let's look at defensive side of the ball. Chris Conte's probable, or he's questionable. I'm talking about the free safety for the Chicago Bears. Peanut's gone. But you have a young rookie in there who's stepping in, and he's making people pay for throwing his way. And I can't remember his name right now, but I do like the cornerback for Chicago out of Virginia Tech. The kid is pretty good. But then that leaves me with Lance Briggs and the rest of the linebacking core. I am not impressed at all with these guys. This might be a game where Eddie Lacy gets healthy. I mean, he had a terrible game versus Detroit, but I'll let Jerry talk about that. So, Chicago playing at home, early game, weather isn't going to be a factor. So, I look for them to come out throwing. Jay Cutler, in my opinion, is a good fantasy play here because Green Bay secondary is not that good. And plus, Aaron Rodgers tells everybody on his radio station to calm down or be patient, and it'll come together. Offensively, it might come together this week, but I think it's going to be enough to stop Chicago. I will be picking Chicago to win this game at home, sending Green Bay to an 0-3 or 1-4, excuse me, 1-3 start this season. JT.
Shootout. Shootout. Push comes to shove when the pressure is on. What quarterback would you rather have, Aaron Rodgers or Jay Cutler? I know who I would rather have. Green Bay is going to win this game. Jay Cutler always, just like Brett Favre used to be for Green Bay, just like Tony Romo is for the Dallas Cowboys. When the pressure's on, you can always rely on those quarterbacks to make that fatal mistake for their team to lose. I like Green Bay in this game.
All right, let's move on over to another game that has a little interest in it, especially for me and Jerry. It's a game that, I'm sorry, Houston, we have a problem. Buffalo's going to go into Houston and, in my opinion, defeat them. But I'm going to let Jerry talk about his team, and I'm going to talk about Buffalo. So we have E.J. Manuel coming off a loss at home to San Diego. Now, San Diego is a pretty good team, and they might be a lot better than we gave them credit for earlier in the preseason. But Buffalo is still on top of the AFC East. Fred Jackson, along with C.J. Spiller, have been doing admirably. Nothing spectacular other than C.J. Spiller's kickoff returns. Sammy Watkins had one great game a couple weeks ago, but has since come back down to earth. But on the other side, I believe the defense is very, very, very potent and can probably score a few touchdowns here in this game. Fitzpatrick threw three picks last week that Jerry saw live and in living color, and he can probably tell you why or how it happened. I'll let him do that. I see that happening again this week. I think Buffalo's defense is going to be very opportunistic in this game, whether it's Alfred Blue or Arian Foster. I hope Jerry will tell the people at least that much today so they can prepare for their games. But Buffalo's defense is going to be the difference in this game, along with their special teams. Their offense, it depends on if J.J. Watt's on or not, because I like Houston's defense, but I don't think it's going to be enough. Sorry about that. To stop Buffalo. Buffalo might get maybe one or two offensive touchdowns, but I think the defense and special teams will get the remainder of the scoring for this team. Go ahead, JT.
All right, I haven't been too happy with my let me put it this way. I've been happy up until last week when I saw my team live and in color against the lowly Giants, who laid the smackdown on them. But the Texans have been particularly good when at home. This will be the fourth straight mediocre offense to go against the Texans. They've allowed three rushing scores. Quite naturally, people who played fantasy know that. Last week, Rashad Jennings ran for 176 yards and one touchdown. They have allowed a score and 100 yards to the last two opponents' number one receiver, which scares me. But E.J. Manuel does not scare me. Plain and simple, does not scare me. He's a game manager at best. Houston Texans playing at home. I'm not giving anything up fantasy-wise until tomorrow in the master plan. I tried to give something to y'all last week. It never got on the air, as far as I know. But it'll get on the air tomorrow on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But I like Houston in this game.
And, Houston, you have a problem. All right. Let's go to another game where it's an AFC South game, and I don't think it's going to be one of the best games of the week. I think it's probably going to be one of the worst, quite honestly. Tennessee at Indianapolis. I'll take Tennessee. Jerry will take Indianapolis. Jake Locker, he's been up and down. He's been a typical Jake Locker. You can laugh and chuckle all you want.
He sucks.
Jake
Locker, he sucks.
Okay. All right. But he's a little nicked up. He's a little nicked up. And they're talking about Charlie Whitehurst starting his game. Now, Jake Locker isn't that good. But you can put Charlie Whitehurst in. I like Delanie Walker, but I feel for his production this week. If either of the quarterbacks are in, Dexter McCluster is supposed to play Sean Green. Last week split a lot of carries with Bishop Sankey. Neither of them did any good. So fantasy-wise, only person I see playing on this is Delanie Walker, but it's also predicated on the quarterback play. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, I think Tennessee is a good play.
Victor, go ahead. Go ahead and speak. I got something I got to tend to real quick.
Okay. I see Tennessee being a good play here only because of I like their pass rush and their cornerbacks are pretty good. They try to keep you in the game. last week, I'm not sure what happened with Tennessee, but they just weren't that good. I think that when you look at what's on the roster, you can find IDPs there, especially in this game, because Andrew Luck's going to throw the ball. Ahmad Bradshaw's a little nicked up, but he's going to run the ball. So will Trent Richardson. That means there's going to be a lot of tackles to be made for this defense. So IDP-wise, you can go out and get some of their players. Tennessee is not a very good offensive team, even though Ken Whitehunt has been known to do good things with lackluster offenses and lackluster quarterbacks. For whatever reason, the magic was only in week one. Week two, they reverted back to what they were before, and that was not a good team offensively. Now, since Jerry has to step away, I'll take Indianapolis as well, but I'm going to pick Indy to win this game. Andrew Luck, he found everybody in the end zone last week except for Reggie Wayne. And I'm just being honest. Again, they're playing Jacksonville. Told you guys, if you have an option or opportunity to get anybody playing Jacksonville, get the opposing defense because or start that quarterback because it's just ridiculous. But anyway, Ahmad Bradshaw and Trent Richardson are splitting carries, even though Bradshaw has seemingly been the most effective of the two when in. The problem with him is he's just injury prone. He's still nicked up now. But he's going to be productive. The good news is that you can count on him to do well. He's going to get a catch. He's going to get some yards in the passing game and running game. So he's becoming a dual threat. You know, Trent Richardson, on the other hand, not so much. You got to worry about that, especially if he's going to be that guy that they want him to be. He might be on the street next year. Maybe he might even get traded to a team that needs a running back. It could happen. It could happen. But what are they going to get in return? They're not going to get what they gave up in return. Not whatsoever. But I like Hakeem Nicks in this game. I like T.Y. because T.Y. can take the top off of a defense. And I know I said to get some individual players for Tennessee. I did not say get the Tennessee defense because I think Luck is going to have a good time throwing the ball. He might go for 300 in this game. I see T.Y. doing a little damage, maybe getting one touchdown or two. With that being said, I also think Kobe Fleener, who's stepping in a little bit and taking a little bit of Dwayne Allen's shine, might even see the end zone again. The problem that we see with Kobe Fleener is he's not that good of a blocking running tight end. He's a good pass-catching tight end. So he's more of a Shannon Sharp versus a Mark Bavaro, I can block and I can catch type player. So, you know, whichever tight end you decide to take, one of them is going to score. And I really am leaning toward Kobe Fleener because he's getting more targets than Dwayne Allen is. That's all I have to say on that other than Indianapolis is going to win the game. We'll wait for Jerry to get back so when he gets back and jump right in. But we got Detroit headed to MetLife Stadium. Detroit's going to take on these New York football Jets for a lack of trying. They look bad, man. Only good thing about them is Chris Ivory. Not even Chris Johnson. They're not even using Chris Johnson in a manner that would best suit him. I think he's been underutilized because Chris Ivory has been such a good player. You know, when they give him the ball, he runs. Now, here's the problem. Today is garbage. Garbage. I said. So, and Dee Milner wasn't even, you know, getting the favor of Rex, but he was the best one they had. Now, he might not play. So what does that mean? That means Eric Decker needs to show up for the Jets so they can at least have a little possession, because the defense is going to be on the field, going up and down the field. Geno Smith, Chris Ivory, and Eric Decker can't get it together. Now, Eric Decker pulled himself out of this last game after one catch against Chicago. He got banged up pretty good, but he felt his hamstring not being secure. So they decided to let him pull himself out the game. That left Jeremy Curley. Curley's a good receiver. However, he's not the answer to their needs and their wants. He can be taken out of the game plan, leaving the Jets one-dimensional. Quite honestly, I think that if you don't have Eric Decker, that the Jets are going to pretty much just get ran all over. You have to respect Eric Decker as a defense. On the other side of the ball, we're talking about Detroit here. They lost Steven Tulloch for the year after celebrating. He did a Martin Grammatica, and was celebrating and blew out his ACL. So Steven's gone for the year. Also, a big worry in this game, and it happened last year a few times, is Megatron. Megatron is a game-time decision, and this is terrible for a lot of people, except for those that have Golden Tate. Golden Tate is going to eat like a king in this game. We already talked about Dee Milner possibly being gone, and the secondary possibly being that bad that, you know, anybody will look good against. I will look good running against that Jets secondary. But Golden Tate, Greg Ebron, maybe even Chris Dunham. I believe he's still with the team. Maybe he'll even eat a little bit in this game. But that also tells me that they can split Reggie Bush out and let Joik Bell be the featured back, while Reggie, you know, he runs the ball a little bit, but you put Reggie out there on the perimeter and you get him going against one of those weak corners or a linebacker, and it's all over. All Matthew Stafford has to do is throw him the ball. So this could be a big, big game for him as well. Again, I think you've got a lot of players on Detroit's side of the ball that will feed or eat this Sunday. Unfortunately for the Jets, you don't know which Geno you're going to get. And if that's the case, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. I think Detroit wins this game big. Now that Jerry's back and we're talking about his favorite team, he can go ahead and jump in there. Mr. Taylor, I don't know if you're on mute. I think you're on mute. You're doing a master plan again. All right. I guess he's on mute, or because he did say he was back, but I guess not. Let's move on. Let's go across the pond, shall we? Fish and chips, Miami at Oakland, which isn't really a home game for Oakland, but we're going to call it that because they're the home team. We got some turmoil in this game. Miami doesn't know who their quarterback is, even though it's going to be Ryan Tannehill. We know that now. But Joe Philbin had to apologize to his team for the controversy and the distraction of not naming the quarterback and going through the mess that they went through this past week. Joe Philbin isn't long for this job. I think my cousin was absolutely right when he said Philbin was just not the right guy or the right temperament for a head coaching position. And this Miami team, they're without no Sean Marino. I'm telling you, Mike Wallace has been benefiting from the Sean Marino in a running game. Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas and Damian Williams, they're not the answer here, man. I mean, Miami's entire linebacking core, they're on their second stringers. They're doing a very, very good job, by the way, along with that front four. But I don't know what to say about Joe Philbin and this Miami Dolphin offense. Without a solid running game, I think they regress. And it's time to sell Mike Wallace. I really think so. Could he eat in this game? Yes, he can eat in this game. Will he eat in this game? I don't think so. All because no one's afraid of that run defense, I mean that run running game, and it's going to be an opportunity for teams to stack the box and or just play coverage because they know Tannehill can't go deep and there's not going to be any running lanes. I'm going to let JT jump in here and take the Raiders since it's across the pond. And you got either the return of MJD, or he's going to be in a supportive role to run DMC. JT, take it away.
Very bad game against Miami and Oakland. Very bad game. These two teams are not going anywhere. Head coach in Miami is a joke. They had two veterans running backs that have a history lately of MJD having a history of being not being able to stay on the field. Darren McFadden, ever since he came in the league, has a history of not being able to play a full season. It's football for the people in London and Europe, but this is a very bad game. I don't even know who to pick this game. This is a pick'em to me. I think the Oakland Raiders are the home team, so I'll go against the grain for the most part. I'll pick the Oakland Raiders to win this because the dysfunction in Miami, I think, is going to continue as long as this coaching staff in Miami, which is, I think is a joke, Joe Philbin and company, is in place. So I like Oakland.
Oakland?
Mm-hmm.
I, too, like Oakland in this game, although I want to point out something that James Jones is one of the top five receivers in football, and in fantasy, he's one of the top receivers, mainly because Derek Carr likes to throw it to him a lot. He likes to target him a lot. So that'll be a guy that I'm telling you guys, especially in this game, you might want to covet and play if you can. Like if you get a FanDuel or something like that, that might be a guy you want to get. And let's move on to another game that it may or may not have fireworks. It features the return of the muscle hamster, Doug Martin, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sporting a new quarterback in, I forgot the kid's name, last year's quarterback for Tampa Bay. Oh, my
Mike
gosh.
Glenn.
I can't believe Mike Glennon, yes. Mike Glennon is back. Because Josh McCown has a messed up hand. Now, will this be the opening that Mike Glennon needed to say, you know what, Lovey, you were wrong? Is this the spark plug that they need to get to those big receivers? Because Glennon has a cannon. He can throw the ball deep, but his accuracy is a little bit of a problem. Now, Vincent Jackson and Evans have been given up on in a lot of leagues. I think, and I'll take Tampa in this game because I know you like Pittsburgh. I think this is the game that they wake up along with that defense. I think that defense suffers from what a lot of bad defenses suffer from. Terrible O. If the O is not on the field for a long time, that means the D is. And Tampa Bay's defense has been on the field a lot more and a lot longer than their offense has. In this game, I think, and I know it's in Pittsburgh, I think that changes. It's going to be a game where Tampa Bay's defense stays fresh. Will they win the game? Let's see. I will say... All right, I'm going to let Tampa Bay wins this game. Now, the muscle hamster returns, so that means Bobby Rainey will be limited in his touches. However, you might still want to play him because you never know if the muscle hamster is going to stay the whole game or not.
and that's a danger in playing him. Some people, such as myself, may keep him on the bench for one more week just to see what he does. But you never know. Going against Pittsburgh's defense, you got a shot at doing something. You got a shot. It just depends on how he takes it. But with that being said, yeah, I'll go ahead and play Vincent Jackson and Evans and the Muscle Hampshire and Bobby Ring. Only because I think Glennon is going to be a good play this week against Pittsburgh's defense. Go ahead, JT.
It's in Pittsburgh, going against a offense that is pretty bad. I know that Mike Glennon is probably the better choice from Josh McGowan now. I don't know if Lovey knows that yet. I still like Pittsburgh in this game. Too many offensive weapons going up against a team that is limited in their offensive weapons, especially because of the quarterback play. And I don't have too much faith in Tampa Bay. I've said this more time and time again. I think they're a 3-13 team, and I think they're going to play like that in Pittsburgh.
Okay. I mean, I hope not. I don't think so, but we'll see what happens with this quarterback change. Now to a team that actually might go 3-13, and Jerry should have taken the bet on this one. He'd be a pretty well-off man if he did. Jacksonville goes to San Diego. Blake Broidles starts the game. I like Blake. I'll take Jackson when you take San Diego. I like Blake Hearns and the receiving crew. Cecil Shorts is back and a few other folks. But for whatever reason, Gus Bradley has decided not to run Toby Gerhardt into the ground. I understand in the first couple games they had to throw the ball. But last week, they didn't have to throw the ball. They could have ran it. But they didn't. So Toby Gerhardt just remained on the sideline or in the backfield blocking. A young guy I like in this game is Mr. Robinson. I'm not talking about Denard Robinson. I'm talking about Robinson, the wide receiver. I think he has had three consecutive games with six catches or more, 70 yards or more. And that speaks very, very highly of this young rookie, along with Hearns. Yes, Hearns came out explosive and stuff like that. There's a young nucleus of receivers here in Jacksonville. Defense is good, too. However, just like I said with the last team, your defense is going to be bad if they're on the field for a very long period of time. I think that's the case with Jacksonville. I can't, in my right mind, tell you to play anybody here other than Paul Plus Lesney and maybe Mr. Hearns or maybe Mr. Robinson. I mean, Blake Bortles has a bad deck stacked against him for his first start. I think he could have came in and started last week and given Indianapolis more fits than coming in and not, you know, getting the full game. With that being said, I don't like anybody in Jacksonville other than the folks I mentioned, but I don't expect them to do much. What you got, JT?
Got nothing here. That doesn't seem like this is a game to watch. Or the game, well, I mean, only in fantasy, and you'll hear it all on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Master Plan. I like anybody who plays against Jacksonville.
I do, too, so you're not going to talk about San Diego. Okay, fine. Let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I told you guys I would never pick anything other than I would never pick Minnesota until AP got back. Well, don't worry, that's going to happen anytime soon. So I'm going to take Atlanta. I'm going to let Jerry take Minnesota. Teddy Bridgewater starts, so we'll see. Matty Ice has been hot and cold. One week he's hot, one week he's cold. Last week he was hot. Minnesota's defense is not that bad. Not that bad at all. However, I like Julio, Harry, and yes, because there's a question whether he's going to play or not, Rodney. I think they're going to be very, very influential in this game. Devin Hester, I don't know if that kid's going to step up and do what he did last week, but if they game plan for him, meaning get him the ball in space like they did last week, he could become a viable fantasy player. I don't think so, but he could. With that being said, I am not afraid to play Atlanta defense this week. I know their secondary is bad, but I'm not afraid to play them because you got Teddy Bridgewater starting with no Kyle Rudolph, with no AP. It doesn't look good on that side, so I think Atlanta's defense could actually be a good play here. Other than that, Steven Jackson, I don't even like Atlanta's running game. Antoine Smith has done more than Steven Jackson has all year. Devontae Freeman, he's like number four on the depth chart for whatever reason. That's a crapshoot because Jacquizz Rodgers is still in there. Stay away from their running back situation, but just focusing on their passing. I'm going to pick Atlanta. So with that being said, JT, take it away.
Minnesota is in transition. And with transition, you got a new quarterback, which is Teddy Bridgewater. It's going to be his first start. Fortunately, it's at home. Excuse me. Fortunately, it's at home, and it's against a defense that's not too good. Not too good against the pass. Not too good against the run. Young quarterback. Safe plays. They're going to run the ball and make a concerted effort to give him good opportunities to make conservative completions. I got something in here, but I'm going to reserve it. And I keep saying this over and over again, and I'm going to reserve it. That way, I know it's going to be get out tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. 10 a.m., the master plan.
I apologize, but I wasn't the one that was supposed to do it. That's all I'm going to say. All right.
I'm hot, man.
Really?
You don't have no idea.
I got you, Joe. I got you. Next game, and we've got three games left and about 7 minutes left to lie there, so we can probably go into overtime a little bit.
Okay.
Philly hits up San Francisco. So Philly goes to San Francisco. This is a game, in my opinion, that will probably be the game of the week out of all the games other than Green Bay Chicago, because there's a lot of implications in this game. Second game at home. For the 49ers. So what I'll do is this. I'll take the 49ers since I'm here on the West Coast, and you'll take Philly. 49ers. I made the statement early on in the preseason that the 49ers looked to me like they're going to abandon the run and let Colin Kaepernick become the savior. So far, I'm right. They've gone away from Frank Gore, and they've gone away from Carlos Hyde a little bit. It's 16 carries, 17 carries, not a lot of carries for the running backs. But Kaepernick's throwing the ball 30-plus times. And San Francisco's losing. So what does that tell me? They need to run the ball. They need to run the rock. And with Kerry Williams, along with others saying that the defense is tired, that's a perfect recipe for Jim Harbaugh to load up and go student body right, student body left, gash, sprint, all these run plays that they have in that arsenal. Because right now, Colin Kaepernick is not the answer for this team. Colin Kaepernick is the guy that's going to hurt this team if they allow him to be the passing quarterback. The defense can stop the passing game of Philly, but what they have to do is keep the defense fresh. So, I think Frank Gore and Carlos Hyde have monster games this week. I really think they do. Crabtree should do pretty well as well. Vernon Davis is questionable, but I think he's going to play this game. Not to mention, I think these guys need to win at home. They really need to win at home. Will they? I don't know. But I'm picking San Francisco in a tight one, in a very close game. Go ahead, JT.
This is, by all intents and purposes, a classic game, offense against defense. Even though San Francisco's defense is not at what it used to be, and San Francisco is playing home, playing desperate and need a win. You know, you see, folks, you see a quarterback taking that next step, like a lot of people didn't think he would take, and I'm talking about Nick Foles. He took a beating and kept on ticking last week against the division rival, the Washington Redskins, and came out victorious in that shootout. San Francisco can't match that. They haven't scored a point in the fourth quarter. Haven't scored a point in the fourth quarter. What's going to change? Tell me what's going to change in this, and I'm not talking to victory. I'm just saying it. I like Philly in this game, regardless of the fact that San Francisco is playing home, regardless of the fact that they're a desperate team because they're 1-2 right now and they don't want to go 1-3. I like Philly to go on the road, east to west coast, and to pick up a win against a team that their confidence is really shaken. And in one more ways than one, on the field and off the field, meaning I think there's rumblings about how these players are relating to Jim Harbaugh. So that fiery, yelly type of coach. I think there's some issues there. We'll see what happens, but I like Philly in this game.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left alive there, so what I want to do right now is prep you for the master plan that Jerry keeps talking about, since he doesn't want to help us out in any way, shape, or form. Here, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, JTHN Money, along with Lance, the NFL exporter, bringing to you the master plan as they prepare you for your fantasy week, or excuse me, your fantasy Sunday in the NFL. Then, on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we got Lance again with the extra point. Very good show, provides great insight, goes over what was discussed on Sunday's show, and preps you for Monday Night Football. Then on Thursday, you have the crew show, FSP crew show, my guys, JKATM Money, along with Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. They talk to you about this week in sports and prep you for the Thursday night show. Then you're back here again with me, FSP, on Fantasy Sports and Politics. We're going to prep you for the world of news and sports, as well as give you some fantasy advice. That's what we do here, so enjoy it. You can always check us out right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. You can also go to spotonradio.webs.com, streaming 24/7, 365, etc. Always looking for sponsors. Bring it on. We're a great show. We know you love us. With that being said, let's head on to the Sunday night game as we head into overtime, where we're going to have the New Orleans Saints going against the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, I am not going to be the Cowboys. I think Jerry needs to be the Cowboys and take the Cowboys. I'm going to take New Orleans. Now, there's a point that was made on Mike and Mike with Chris Carter and, no, was it Mike and Mike or was it NFL Network? I can't remember which it was, but according to stats, the New Orleans Saints are the highest scoring team per possession. Now, they haven't had the ball that much, but they score when they get it. This is interesting because we've got some turmoil down there in Dallas. Claiborne is not going to be he'll be victimized. Let me put it this way. He picked the wrong week to have an issue about being demoted from safety back to corner because Drew Brees is coming to town. And Drew Brees likes to throw that rock around. So, I like Brandon Cooks, Kenny Stills, Marquise Colston, Jimmy Graham. I like them all in this game. On the flip side of that, I don't like the defense. You know, Dallas has become more balanced as of late. They let DeMarco Murray run the ball, which is good. But DeMarco Murray has fumbled three consecutive weeks. I think he'll fumble again. And I think the Saints' defense will be there to capitalize on it. And that gives Drew Brees another opportunity to throw a touchdown to Jimmy Graham, which I think he's going to do quite often in this game. With that being said, of course, I like the New Orleans Saints. But fantasy-wise, you play every fantasy available player in this game, in my opinion. Take it away, JT.
Dallas Cowboys, Tony Romo's not right. They're running the ball because of Tony Romo's not being right. But because the offense of the New Orleans Saints, I think this is a high-scoring game. New Orleans doesn't play well on the road, but, and I've always said this, and if you listen to what I'm saying, it happened when they would play Cleveland. Cleveland came out with a win against the Saints. But, and this is a big but because it makes a difference, the Saints are on the road. They're inside on carpet, meaning turf. Teams built for play the inside on carpet and turf. So this is going to be a high-scoring game because Tony Romo's going to have to throw the ball a lot. They're going to try to play keep away early with DeMarco Murray. It's not going to work because Drew Brees, when it, and you just said it, Vic, is the highest-scoring team when they get the ball. And they're going to score against that Dallas defense that's really not that good, especially against the pass. They're going to put some points up, which in turn is going to have Dallas go away from the run for the most part. Dallas didn't go away from running against St. Louis because St. Louis is not a prolific scoring team. They're going to have to go against the run here and start passing the ball because the New Orleans Saints is a prolific scoring team and going to try to have to keep up with them. And they're going to be throwing a ball. But it's not going to work. New Orleans comes out with the win.
All right. Let's move on to the last game of the weekend, which is Monday night. New England travels to Kansas City. Jamaal Charles is supposed to play this game, but again, they're going to check him out to make sure he's good to go. That means now Davis holders, you might still want to keep him in your lineup. I'm not sure. You may or may not want to do it. But I would, just because he's the backup and he comes in anyway. But a guy that a lot of people probably went and got, which I think is a smart move, is McKnight. McKnight is not going to be in this game. I don't feel as though if Jamaal Charles is going to – obviously I'm thinking Kansas City, Jay's going to take New England. But if Jamaal Charles is playing in this game, McKnight is not going to do diddly squat poo. The difference is Alex Smith is going to have to manage this game. I said manage. I didn't say win. I said manage. So that means you're going to see a lot of screens. You're going to see a lot of draws and short passes, in my opinion, from him. The reason being is because the Patriots' defense is an attacking defense. It's pretty good. They get after the quarterback. And the best way to slow that down is to do draws, screens, and quick plays to get them out of their rhythm, to make them stop blitzing you. It's in Kansas City. It's a Monday night game. I'm going out on a limb here and pick Kansas City. Now, I don't know what happened to the Black Mamba. I don't know why he's not getting used. I don't know if he's injured or whatever the case may be. But that kid out of Oregon, he needs to show up in this game if they're going to play him, because they need some more weapons. Tom Brady is not the Tom Brady of old. Gronk says he's ready to ramp it up and get better, but we'll see what happens. I'm not going to talk about New England. I'm going to let JT do that. Go ahead, JT.
First note, Joe McKnight, Achilles, out for the rest of the year. Just to let you know that. Something's amiss in New England. The defense is in a couple of my leagues, is rated number one. So their defense is coming through. Their offense, for some reason, is struggling. I don't know if it's Tom Brady's got an issue or you're seeing a demise of Tom Brady. I'm not sure what's going on with Tom Brady. But this game is funky. I mean, I think the point spread's only 3.5, 4, something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Vic can look that up, but I'm not sure what the point spread is in this game. But excuse me.
It's about that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that. Wow. This is you went with Kansas City. I'm thinking because of the shakiness of the offense. Man, this is a tough call. I can see why it's only 3.5. Because of the way Kansas City had been playing, and well, especially the way of New England has been playing. So, you know what? Since you went to Kansas City, I'm going to have to go the opposite way. I'm going to New England.
Okay. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being wrong, Mr. Taylor. You're used to it. But with that being said, my man, that completes our NFL schedule review. As Jerry has been pointing out, this Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Master Plan JT will break down all of his fantasy goodness along with Lance Goodman. Now, he's being defiant to me for no reason. I'm not the culprit. But we'll see. We'll see. We shall see. Because I plan on whooping that butt.
The vent was open, so there's probably a behind.
What? Are you talking to yourself again?
No, I'm talking to my wife.
Oh, I'm about to say, Alzheimer's kicking in. But I just want to put this last bit of information out there for all those that listen to the show. At the top of the show, when JT was on, or whatever, I talked about a matchup that we have. Now, Mr. Taylor, do you care to discuss this matchup, or do you want to just let it be, let sleeping dogs lie?
You've heard of the Beatles, right?
Heard of the what?
You've heard of the Beatles, right?
Yeah.
Well, they came out. One of the most popular songs came out, and you mentioned the title of the song, so. Do you understand what I mean by that?
The title of the song.
Yeah.
I'm walking down a slippery slope here, and I better watch myself. But I don't know what are you talking about.
It's the name of the song is "Let It Be."
Oh, Let It Be. I mean, you don't want to discuss your impending loss to me, Mr. Badass Texan?
What's that now?
Mr. Badass Texan, you don't want to discuss your impending loss to me?
What loss? It's not going to be a loss.
It will be. We play each other in Wolverines in the House.
You know, see, and I keep telling you, Victor, don't pay attention to those projections. And you like to do that.
That ain't the project. I'm talking about you just losing. Period.
I'm not going to lose. Not going to lose. I'm not even worried about it. I mean, you want to step it up and have a wager on it, but we have enough wagers that we need. So I'm looking forward to when my team comes off the bye, when Arizona comes off the bye and happens to play Washington, so I could pick up another part of our wager. So it is what it is.
You're not going to win that, buddy. I can tell you that right now.
From what I saw of your boy this past Thursday, it should be a comfortable one.
Wow. We'll see about that, old man. All right, parting shots real quick. What you got to say?
Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow on the Master Plan, we're going to be breaking down each and every team. I have a few gems. I apologize for maybe some of those gems not getting out last week, especially one of them that was really a gem. I don't know if it got out or not. I'll be listening to the show that took place completely Sunday after we get off this show. But I have a couple of gems that I want to put out there and make sure that you get these. And hopefully on a bye week, especially on a bye week, that you're going to get those gems and you can put them in your lineup and give you a win. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's the Master Plan with JT. They want to call me Cash Out. I call him Money Man, the Master. And Lance, the NFL Exporter, will give you as much info that you can possibly digest within the time span that we give it to you, and hopefully it'll bring you a win.
All right. That being said, JT, Tim, I want to thank you very much for coming on and being a part of the show, as usual. Wow.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
Take care of your business and stop being so salty. I know after I beat you this week, I'm going to rub it in like a salt in the wound, so that's what it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen. He's my man, 50 grand, and I am the man, Mr. FSP. It's time to get up out of here. So you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.